Teddy Bruschi.
You can't
joined
touch
us.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? How
What's going
you?
On, Teddy?
We were talking about
I was in mid-rant.
Yeah, you're a little fired up a little bit there, Michael.
Not as fired up as you yesterday. Did you hear about this? I bet you somebody told you about it.
I bet Heidi did.
Heidi said, Teddy, what are you doing?
But, yeah, I saw it. I got towards the end of the game, a lot of us were getting a little bit emotional out there, and they were yelling at us. We were yelling at them. The officials made a thing. It was a false start penalty on one of our guys.
And skipped the throwing the helmet part.
Yeah, yeah, and threw the helmet. I mean, helmet down on the ground, ear pads everywhere. But, you know, we just got a little heated, and the official just sort of said, relax, the game's over. And we're all about finishing games. I'm like, hey, we're finished. We're trying to finish a game here. You finish the game you're supposed to do also, you know. But, you know, get a little heated there at times.
So
the
they game, were, you it, said you were – You were yelling at the officials were yelling at the players, and the players were yelling at the officials, or were the Jets and Patriots going back and forth?
It was sort of a circle. We were
so
yelling
everybody
at the officials.
Was yelling at everybody.
The officials were yelling at us and the Jets, and we were yelling at the Jets, and the Jets were yelling at us and the officials. So it was everybody yelling at everybody. Really.
It's a game played by grown men, and the emotions get a little high.
It's an emotional game, and I've heard a little bit about it.
Let's talk about the overall. We just talked with Vince a few minutes ago about the overall play of your defense, and it wasn't even bend but not break. You guys didn't even bend very much yesterday.
Yeah, I think if there was any problem we had yesterday, it was sort of the plays that broke down, and Favre was able to scramble out and still throw it across the field to Coles or Cotchery or Stuckey, and still make that. You know, over a 20-yard gain at times, and it was a broken play. So initially our defense held up, but we still have to, you know, we understood with him, we still had to be disciplined. And even though it seemed like the play was over and he might get sacked, the ball still had a great chance of being flung out there and being caught by somebody.
You've talked a lot about what it takes to play football at a high level in your 13th season. Guys who have been around for a long time, that's something special. Was there ever any doubt in your mind in the last couple of years that, you know, maybe I can't do this anymore, or I can't do it at the level that I want to? Did that ever cross your mind?
No, it didn't. I think if anything, the big difference as you get later on in the years in your career are the off seasons, how much longer it takes to maybe heal from a season. And then that's when you're thinking, is this ankle ever going to get better? Is this, you know, shoulder or elbow ever going to get better? Then you get on to March and get to March and April, and you get the workouts going in again, and then you start training again. And of course the injuries do get better, and then you realize that, hey, you can still do this. You can still train the way you want to. But in terms of confidence or anything like that, I don't think I ever lacked it, and it's just something that I've had great examples here also of people that have done it for a long time. I think playing with Junior for the last 2 years has really given me great lessons, where I was watching him and how he would prepare and take care of himself. Rodney Harrison, Willie McGinnis, when he was here, to just achieve a career longevity is something, and not only just achieve it but still play well at that level is something I still watch. I still watch and see what I can learn from guys around the league.
Well, you're making some plays now that you made in your fifth year, in your sixth year. Yesterday you had a play where you're on top of Favre, and then you jump up from Favre and you're able to get Bubba Franks. I mean, things like that. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's what people say. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right, and I think it's just effort. You always try to just keep going and going until the whistle blows, and if you're down, you get up. I mean, I still hear Romeo Crennel in my head. You know, if you're down, you're up. And if you're down, you're up. You're down, get back up. And also experience a little bit on that play is, I know from Favre when he played here back in all the times that I played Favre here, and I've gotten to him when he's played quarterback, where I was a defensive end or a defensive tackle or a linebacker, he'd always try to put a stiff arm out on you. So he'd always try to try to stiff arm you, especially in the face mask, try to get a little bit more freedom so he can fling the ball. And there I was trying to knock the ball down. I knew it was coming actually before it came, so I tried to stay up and knock it down, grab him around the neck and slam him on his head. But he still was able to flip it out to Bubba Franks. I knew when you're playing Favre, he's not down till he's down, and you look at him and he still has the ball. You know, so I felt that ball come back out and was just able to get back up and chase the ball down.
See, that's another thing. Dale. Quarterbacks can stiff arm defensive players.
And defensive players.
But defensive players can't touch quarterbacks.
The one with the Delius, where he sort of just threw Washington to the side and tackled both of them down there by the goal line. Oh, man, that was incredible, wasn't it? Favre tried to put his hand right in Adelis's face, but AD was able to use those long arms and get some jersey and hold on to him.
And he did. You can see it on the replay. Yeah, he put his hand right there on the face.
Hold on to him. Hold on to Washington. Throw them both down.
Did you want to say to Washington?
That's a big, strong man right there. I said, you slow-motion monstered that guy when he came to the sideline because that was incredible.
Didn't you want to say to Washington, move aside, little man. Come on, man. You shouldn't be in the middle of these grown folks.
That was one of those. Are you serious? I mean, the size differential is obvious, but just the strength of Adelis and the ability that he has. It was nice to see him make a play like that.
Our weekly conversation with Teddy Bruschi is brought to you by SBLI of Massachusetts. With new low rates and rock-solid financial stability, SBLI offers unbeatable life insurance coverage for your team at home. Trust SBLI, Teddy Bruschi's choice for life insurance. Visit SBLI.com today.
Hey.
There might not be any better team in the history of sports that I've ever seen at the ability to lock in on this week's game. It's all that matters. This game is just the same as last week and next week. This game is the only one that matters.
Yeah.
And then when it's over with and you can look back on it, then sometimes you guys are willing to admit, you know, this was a little bigger than a normal regular season game. There was a lot of stuff going on yesterday. A lot of questions that a lot of people had. Did it feel bigger than a normal week two regular season game against the Jets?
Well, it had more questions than a regular number two week regular season game versus the Jets. I mean, obviously, it's the first time we haven't played without Tom Brady in a long. We have played without Tom Brady in a long time. So Matt Castle coming in, and of course. You know, we also know that it's his first start since high school, since his senior year in high school. But we've also been around Matt, and we've seen him in practices, and he goes against us, the first team defense, every week. And we still knew about the confidence that we had in him. So with all of that, it still was a little bit different, and it was a little bit more special because we were happy for Matt. We were happy for him because a lot of people were looking at him as someone that possibly he couldn't get the job done. We're going into New York. It's a tough place to play. It's a divisional opponent. He doesn't know what he's about to get into. I'm sure a lot of that was said during the week, but we all let him know that we got his back. Don't worry. It's a team game. You know, he's only on the field when there's offense out there. There's still special teams. That's their defense, you know, and you know, we really wanted to let him know that we're behind them and get this victory.
Which word is more accurate? Are you more amused when people say the Patriots can't win without fill in the name, Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, Richard Seymour, Lawrence Maroney, or are you more annoyed when you hear these constant questions about what makes you guys successful and as if one guy is responsible for the bulk of that success?
I'll give you a better word for that. I'm just baffled. I'm baffled that they still don't get it. That they still don't get that we're a good team. We're a good team from top to bottom. Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick, the entire organization has worked to make this team good from position one to position 53 or whatever it may be. From starters to backups to special teams player, this is a good team. And so when you lose a player, yes, it's big when you lose a key player like Tom or any one of those players that you named, but there's still a lot of guys that still have to do their job and get the job done when they go out there and play. It's a team game. I mean, it's a lot different than maybe basketball if you were to lose a Kobe Bryant or a LeBron James and all of a sudden somebody's got to come in and put those points back on the board. But football is a different sport, you know, and I just get baffled that people don't get it, that the New England Patriots are a good football team all around.
And you know what? Some of the people who don't get it, and you're right, baffling. Baffled is the right word. You should write a book or something. But it's amazing that some of the people who don't get it are former players. I mean, these are guys who played the game, and some of them played the game at a really high level for a long time, and they sound like us. They sound like guys who never stepped on the field.
I think the determining factor, if I were to analyze this game last week or anything like that, the determining factor would be if Matt were able to take care of the ball. You know, that's the only thing. I think that's a big thing we wanted to emphasize was just, you know, just take care of the ball. You know, let's not turn the ball over. And then defensively, let's get some turnovers. You know, if Matt was able to take care of the ball and not make glaring mistakes, I think on one run play he might have went the wrong way or something like that. But, okay, we can live with that. We can live with that. I mean, there were no interception for scores or fumbles that really shifted field position. I think he did a great job in that aspect. And I think if anybody should be happy today, it should be Matt Castle.
I think your near sack of Favre was the 3rd and 22 play, wasn't it? where you hit him like a split second as he let the ball go.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you had the little stunt and blitz up the middle.
I remember
and,
that. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, first of all, it's frustrating. It's 3rd and 22, and he completes a pass for 28. But the frustration is you're thinking, I'm that far away from being there at the exact moment I need to be there.
Yeah, and as a Mike linebacker, you don't get many chances to rush, you know. And so on that particular play, the read was for me to get up in the line of scrimmage and see if I could get to the quarterback. And not only that, but the gain that they had on that one, you know, it's I think that's just Brett Favre. I mean, you take that, you realize he's going to make plays like that, but you also realize when he gives you an opportunity to take advantage of it. And it was nice to see Brandon also squeeze a ball and you know, to put one in and get his interception.
We know Brett likes to talk. Was he talking to you yesterday?
No. I didn't. I really didn't want to talk to him anyway, because I mean, this, all I had to say to guys in the locker room at times, but hey, this is the Patriots versus the Jets. You know, that's all you got to say. And that just saying that right there means it's going to be intense. It's going to be, I mean, you saw us on the sideline. It's we're intense. We're a little chippy. You know, it's a game we want to win. You got Eric Mangini over there as a head coach, and so a lot of the guys that you know that have, you know, like strength coaches like Rick Lyles there, a lot of players, you know, so it's just a game you want to win.
And Dale, I don't know if you realize, he's still mad at Brett Favre for 1996. He's still here. He's still here.
I still see that, yeah.
he doesn't like him.
It wasn't much fun for any of them.
No, it wasn't fun. I want to get your take on a play that, or a series of plays that Eric Mangini and the Jets are still getting killed on this morning by the New York media. At the goal line, three consecutive runs. Were you surprised that they ran the ball three times, tried to run it down your throat, rather than try to stick a pass in there?
I am not. I am not, because I'll tell you why. All right. I think a big reason, you know, we've been able to have success against that team is the ability for us to be physical. Our front seven is a big strength of our defense, and I think they know that. And I think they made a big effort in the offseason to say, okay, you know, we've got the Patriots in this division to, and they've got a formidable front seven that we've got to match them up. And of course, they brought in Damian Woody, they brought in Alan Faneca. I think Ferguson's playing better now. Mangold's a good center. Moore, the left guard, as we look at it, he's a great player too. It's like, okay, here's our tough guys versus your tough guys. Let's see who's tougher. That's the feeling I got when I was out there on that goal line, the way they were in their stances, the attitude that they had, the way that Jones was running the ball. I sort of, you could just tell that they wanted to sort of make a statement like, okay, here we are. We got three chances. We're going to pound it in and see if you can stop us. I think at that point, there are times in games where it's just, okay, here's the line. We're drawing it. We bet you can't cross it. And the other team's saying, well, we bet we can. And then that was one of those moments where we won.
Well, if you noticed that, and if you noticed that attitude, did you notice anything different when they had to kick a field goal? Was there like a deflated feeling or a little?
I think a little bit. I could tell that they really wanted to get that in. They really wanted to get it in, and they wanted to run it in, you know. And I think sometimes you can tell the mood by the players, and by the mood by players, you can sort of tell what's being told to them on the sideline. You know, it's like, all right, we get in this situation, this is what we're going to do, and that was their chance, you know, maybe. But I think they really wanted to get that in, and it was obvious to me that they didn't want to kick that field goal.
And I'd imagine, as a football player, there are two things that happen on the field that are unacceptable. One is losing. You know, you just don't want to lose. But the second thing, for a defensive player, somebody running on you at will, that must be the most humiliating, just a deflating feeling. And as a defense, you say to yourself, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's probably, especially myself as a middle linebacker, is probably the most demoralizing thing that can happen to you. And it's the easiest thing for an offense to do. Here you go, hand it off, run right at them. There's 8 yards. There's five. Now there's the first down. Then you do it again. I mean, I think one of the biggest goals we have is to win on first down, because if we can get them into a second and eight or a second and seven, that's sort of a victory, like winning on first down. So, but if you get second and threes, you get second and twos, then it's like, you know, they can sort of do whatever they want. So they can run it two more times for first down, or they can fall forward for 3 yards, and all of a sudden it's another first down. So to really stop the run is something we try to pride ourselves on, especially, you know, Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, myself, Gerard Mayo, Mike Vrabel, Adelius Thomas, those seven guys up front. I mean, that's our job.
Me? I like running plays.
Buffalo chicken cheese pizza delivered at the house.
I heard the commercial this morning. I couldn't resist.
Final question from me. I know you're a football fan as well. You were probably traveling, didn't get to see it. But can you imagine going for two to win?
Unbelievable.
With 19 seconds left in a game
at
home.
What a gutsy call, wasn't it?
Wasn't that something? I mean, at home. On the road, I can sort of see it.
Yeah. That's where if you get it, you're like the crowd, your team, everything. It's just an explosion of emotion. And if you don't, here come the questions. Here come the doubts. Here come the maybe the complaints from some of the players. So risky move. And, you know, it's to see them complete that. I mean, you could tell the emotional lift on the sideline and by the players. That was big.
Players would be like, Coach is an idiot. Right? You believe this? We could have gone to overtime. Didn't have confidence in us now.
Well, maybe
Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Oh, yeah. Keep going.
Teddy, great to see you. Congratulations
Thanks,
on the win.
Thank
Teddy Bruschi joining us on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio, WEEI.